I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to explore Walk the Talk, a new speaker series at The Vogue that follows the model of the TED Talks. We'll discuss the series' origins and what the talks aim to accomplish. My guests are Steve Ross, Jennifer Brendusi, and Richard Brendan, all organizers of Walk the Talk. Please join the conversation. You can give us a call toll-free at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking about the new Walk the Talk speaker series. It's a series of talks that is modeled on the TED Talks that primarily is going to be at The Vogue. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are three organizers of the Walk the Talk speakers series. They are Steve Ross, Richard Brendan, and Jennifer Brendusi. Welcome to all of you. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
So first, we'll start with, I guess I'll start with Steve on this one.
Okay.
Walk people through what Walk the Talk
is, right. Okay?
And then we'll go into the origins, where you saw the need and all of that.
Okay. Walk the Talk is, as you said, a TED Talk-inspired spiritual speaker series. And what we mean by spiritual is things that move us all through compassion and gratitude and love. One of our talks was Love in Action, and it was amazing. The messages that each speaker brought to how they talked about the Walk the Talk. It started, I had a Vision Quest book that I had written some notes down in and, around 2013, and I said I wanted to create some type of speaker series. And I didn't really have anybody that could help me do it. But I looked at my notes a couple of days ago, and my first note was to create a series that helps everybody as well as it helps me grow. And that was the key to Walk the Talk, is that we provide messages from the common man that give people an idea of how to walk the talk and make their lives better. And I met a woman named Karen Golden, who's now in Sedona, which we'd all love to be there right now. She and I were talking about it, and then she and Richard and I began talking about it, and Richard and I were the ones who started this rolling. And Jennifer has been a key asset to us to make this happen. Yeah.
So who started the conversation then, Richard? I mean, Steve says it started kind of with the two of you. Who called whom?
Well, actually, the person that brought us together was Cassie Stockamp, president of the Athenaeum,
mm-hmm.
mutual
oh, okay.
friend of both of ours. Yeah. She knew that with my 501c3 journeys, Fire International, I had done a lot of events. We brought a lot of speakers to Indianapolis. Largest was Deepak Chopra at Clues Hall. Produced a lot of other things under that. She knew Steve's vision, what he just shared, and she said, I think you two need to meet. So I don't know who made the initial email.
right.
Had you guys not met before this?
No.
Or?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So this is actually a partnership that came out of a cold call, it
Absolutely.
Sounds like.
Pretty much. And you're right. Yeah, it was Cassie. And Richard and Karen and I talked a lot about how we envisioned this coming together. Mm-hmm. But once she left, it was a different story. But, yeah, I mean, thank God to Cassie, because our first event we were trying to do at the Athenaeum. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to make it, an all-ages event. Mm-hmm. But the more we looked into it, the Vogue has everything. It has lighting. It has sound. We can do the balloon drop there. We can do confetti. Everything's built in, so it decreases the amount of expense we need to have.
Jennifer, how did you get pulled into this?
I'm Steve's assistant at the Vogue, and
okay.
he originally came to me with the idea already conceived. I think one of the first things he asked me was if I knew what TED Talks were, which I did. And he said that it would be TED Talk inspired, but focused more on spirituality and well-being, which is something that I immediately connected with and jumped on board.
Who came up with the name Walk the Talk?
That was actually Steve's idea.
Yeah. Yes.
Steve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where did that hit you?
Wow. So when I first started on this, I had the company or the name of the group I had was called Believe in It, mm-hmm. as in, you know, believe in anything, you know, that you can do and create in your life. And Walk the Talk seemed to be more appropriate to what we were doing, you know, to help people walk the talk. You know, you can Google it. You know, we do have all our videos on YouTube. Of course, there's other Walk the Talk throughout the world, too. But that's kind of where it started, was just mm-hmm. Walk the Talk. And the image of our logo is, you know, the earth, and it's got footprints going across the earth as you mm-hmm. walk the talk mm-hmm. and create a better place for us to live.
And you are allowed to drive people to your website if you want to. You can toss out the URL.
Okay, that's walkthetalkseries.com. Thank you.
Walkthetalkseries.com.
Thank you.
Okay, so how did the focus, is the TED Talks inspired, which means you want them to be tight, right?
Right.
We're not talking William Jennings Bryan in a 2.5 hour speech or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
It's tight, 5 minutes or so is the target.
Yeah, Steve and I came up with 11 minutes.
Okay.
And because we wanted at least 6 speakers, we wanted this to be what makes it different from TED Talk is because we've added the confetti and the live band and the balloon drop, which has become very popular, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And light show. But that way we have 6 speakers. And the thing that I love about this idea, John, is because it's not just bringing in teachers and high-priced people to Indianapolis mm-hmm. anymore. It's giving a voice to people from our community. Some who have never spoken before.
True.
And that's their first time on stage to speak in front of 300-plus people at the Vogue. So that was really cool. But 11 minutes seemed to be a great time, so we're just kind of sticking with that right now.
Is 11 minutes the max that you say, or is that the guideline?
That's the guideline. I mean, we've had couple people go 14, 15 minutes.
And do you let people go shorter than 11? Is that a problem?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've had some people go 9 minutes.
Because I remember my first editor in the newspaper business said always, and it's a rule I've lived by, he said, you know, if we had twice as long to write it, it would be half as short.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
It would be. So.
Right. I do have to say the advantage of the live band is if a person is going over, the band will start walking out while they're talking.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not so subtle reminder.
So how do you select the speakers then if they're not? Because in the TED Talks, obviously, there are certain areas of expertise, but you're saying here they're first-time speakers who are involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what prompts you to reach out to them? Do they volunteer? What's the process for bringing them in?
Well, we have an audition process, and we do the auditions at the Vogue, and we give them a 10-minute slot to audition. They can bring in their PowerPoint slideshow, and they have to talk on topic. So the next one is miracles. So each of the 6 speakers that we chose out of 17, they had their story, how miracles had affected their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one girl had, you know, she had flatlined for 4 minutes, and she ended up coming out of it, you know, and shaking the guy that was trying to get her heart to go. Like, what are you doing? You know, after 4 minutes of flatlining, you're not alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you have brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
So we do the audition process. We have a checklist, you know, that we check, like, do they stay on topic? Are they passionate? Do they really feel what they're saying? One of the things I look at with TED Talks is that if you leave some of yourself on stage, then you've truly committed to your message and what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of our audition process.
Jennifer, you look like you were leaning in and wanted to say something.
The audition process is interesting. Sometimes it feels like an audition scene from a movie. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. you have all these different types of people coming on stage.
Yeah.
But as Steve always says, it takes all types to make the world go round. I think that's what makes a Walk the Talk really unique, again, is that we have ordinary people from the community, from students, a student at Butler. We've had a speaker that is a love major at Butler. He created that.
Okay.
To teachers, professors, doctors. Yeah, it's
yeah,
cool
and,
to
and
see
it is
all
amazing because
people.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's really cool is you're right. People that have never spoken in front of an audience before, like one of the gentlemen, Kunal Diaz. He's probably our most viewed video on YouTube, which, I don't know, he probably has 500 views so far. And he had never talked, but he always wanted to do this. He said, I'm an IT guy. How far could live speaking be from being an IT guy? And he is just amazing. He's funny. He's creative. He's committed to his message.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to pick six people because we'll have about 19 or so audition each time, depending on the topic, but that's the average. Jennifer, by the way, developed a check sheet that we all use. But all three of us, at the end, when everyone's gone, we'll go over that and come to a consensus on the speakers. And so far, that's worked out really well.
And the three of you are basically the audition committee.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We are. Correct.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about Walk the Talk. It is a new speakers series at the Vogue focusing on issues of spirituality and well-being. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. So in terms of first, I want to talk a little bit more about how you settled on the themes of spirituality and well-being. I mean, did you perceive that those were part of the TED Talk series that weren't being really addressed or...
Yeah, you're right on it. I mean, that's one thing. And what I did was I spent a lot of time watching TED Talks because, one, you know, Chris Anderson, the creator, has just an amazing amount of videos on there that tell you how to speak and how to be a great speaker and how to deliver your message. But, you know, you watch these people that have had, you know, 20 million views and you're just going, oh, my gosh, you know. But this was a message that they were missing. So we felt... That's something that we wanted to do.
And we wanted to pick topics that would be a broad draw, that would draw enough people. Like the first one was gratitude, and we had six completely different takes on gratitude, which was really cool. Then love in action. And then in December we had compassion. This is miracles. And like Steve said, we have dramatic stories such as Cindy, who died and came back. There's Amanda, who had Tourette's. Good part of her teenage life, was even in a mental ward. Now she's been healed of that, and she shows the photos of what it was like having that, as well as some emotional healings. And so based on TED Talks and also based on something that we might find be popular to the community, then we pick our topics.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
I think we really try to focus on topics that people can take something away from, something that they can practice in their daily life. And that will positively affect their life and hopefully others around them. To me, that's what creating an epic shift means. You know, our audience comes in open-minded and they leave inspired and they hopefully take something from our show to then bring into the community.
So how do you arrive at what's going to be the broad theme, whether it's gratitude or it's compassion or it's miracles? Did the three of you sit down and brainstorm about that?
Well, for the most part, Steve and I just email back and forth and say, how about this? Okay, cool, dude. And so it's been really easy to do that. And the next one or two are already chosen, I believe.
Yeah.
So what's coming up then?
The next one, which will be in April, is positive thinking. Okay. And then that'll be April 19th. And then in June, we have one on life's purpose. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, these are topics that we don't feel TED Talks really touches on. And, you know, these are non-denominational. Non-denominational, as they apply to everybody, you know, no matter what your walk or talk is, you know, you think about gratitude, you think about forgiveness, you think about positive thinking. One thing we did is also we had a group of people that are part of this, that is a girl that's a photographer and the two guys that do the video production and Angie, who does all the social media for us. You know, we sit down once a month and go, okay, what's our next topic going to be? So it's just not coming from us. And I think Angie said, yeah, we need to be more, you know, something that you can use every day.
So walk me through real quickly how one of these evenings works. I probably ought to ask first. I assume that you just don't throw open the doors and people walk in, that there is a cover charge of some sort. What does it cost to attend?
$15.
$15. To come in, and is it a standard night out at a club, too, that you have opportunity to have drinks and food and all of that, or is it more a lecture-style evening?
Our bar is open as normal, so there's about a 45-minute window between when the doors open and when the first speaker comes on that people can socialize and get drinks. And I've worked with local purveyors who will either sell or sample their products or, teach the audience about what it is they're bringing. Mm-hmm. For example, we had Compassionate Indie there. We've had Cards for Humanity there.
And the doors open at 8. It starts at 8. The doors open at 7:15. A lot of people come early, not to only get a great seat in the front, but to start dancing to the band, get a drink and start dancing. So,
We are talking about the new Walk the Talk speakers series at the Vogue. It's a TED Talk style series that focuses on issues of spirituality and well-being. My guests are Steve Ross, Richard Brendan, and Jennifer Brinduzzi, all of whom are organizers of the speakers series. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about a brand new speaker series at the Vogue called Walk the Talk. It's modeled somewhat on the TED Talk series, but it focuses almost exclusively on issues of spirituality and well-being. My guests are Steve Ross, Richard Brendan, and Jennifer Brinduzzi, excuse me. I knew a Brinduzzi when I was in high school, so I'm hesitating at that. Jennifer Brinduzzi, all of whom are organizers of the series. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear everyone's thoughts on this. This is something different. I mean, in some ways, it's akin to a kind of open-air church or something like that. Is a different model. So I'd like to ask first, what kind of journey do you want the audience to make during that night? What is the arc that you expect them to get out of it? And I'll leave it at that. I'll start with you.
Oh, okay. And I want to take a step back to explain the night a little bit because we went to.
Yeah.
So after the band plays until about 8 o'clock, then I come on, just do a little intro, and then we have the six speakers come on back to back. And when the speakers come on, they're, the band's going dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and the confetti shoots and sprinkles around the speakers. And it's a cool era of fun and excitement. And so we do those six, and then after that, we bring all the speakers on stage, we do a bow, and we do a balloon drop. And in the balloons, we do 100 balloons, and they're shaped like the Earth. They're Earth balloons. And in the balloons, there's a motivational phrase. So you can either pop the balloon or you can take it with you, kind of like a fortune cookie. Yeah. And it's amazing how many people will scramble to get that balloon and take it home with them or pop it right there. So that's a general feel of the night. Something I've said earlier that I think for me that most resonates with what I want this to be is that it's a place for people to learn how to live their life better. And it's amazing during our speakers how many people either have their iPhone or a notepad or they're writing on the brochure that we hand out about, things they're hearing the speaker say. And that's really great. So they can take that and, as we say, walk the talk and use that to make their life better. And maybe understand, the perils or, things that life throws at you.
Mm-hmm. So is the prompt then, Richard, more toward reflection then, to try to get them to think about their own lives?
John, I think it's that. But the thing that keeps coming to me and why I've been excited about this series is it's really about action. One of the things that I love about it is most of us have heard all the teachings. I have a weekly radio show on WICR. It'll be 15 years in April. Mm-hmm. Interview a lot of these teachers from across the country that come on and mm-hmm. singer-songwriters who are all making a difference. But what I found is people are just keeping it inside and they're not doing anything with it. They're not fleshing it out. Mm-hmm. So really what we're trying to do in our own unique creative way is to raise consciousness in Indiana. in Indianapolis. So the takeaways, every time a person is interviewed, we have videographers interview some of the people, the audience, after it's done. Every one of them will always say, oh, that story they told me reminds me that I need to do this in my life, those
right.
kind of things. And that's what I love the most. Mm-hmm. It's really inspiring them to go beyond the Vogue that night, but what can I do the rest of the week to express gratitude, to do love in action? And so that's one of the things that really drives this.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer.
Yeah, Richard, going off of that, I just wanted to give an example of what we mean. For the first event that we did, it was on the topic of gratitude. And what we do is we place a little pocket-sized insert into each brochure that we hand out at the beginning of the night. And for gratitude, it has tips on how to practice being grateful. One of the things on here says, take 5 minutes each morning and write down 5 things you're grateful for. So that I think that's what Richard means by actually putting these ideas into action.
Right.
Another thing on here says to say thank you more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jennifer, when you pull these events together, what are the logistical challenges in terms of coordinating the 6 speakers and, you know, making sure that the event runs smoothly?
I think rehearsing is something that we've been talking a lot about. We have one tech rehearsal that is mandatory, but we've talked more about scheduling more rehearsals just to have the group mm-hmm. together and be more familiar with being on stage. As we said earlier, some of these people have never been on a stage, and then all of a sudden they're being thrown up on the Vogue stage where you know, some of the most legendary musicians have played, so it can be nerve-wracking. I think rehearsing is crucial to the event being successful, and our entire staff that makes it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is
yeah.
the motivation for the speakers to do that? I mean, are they paid for appearing, or is it just they come because they want to connect with an audience?
No, they aren't paid. They actually sign a release form that says that we can use their video or audio segment either in Richard's show or on our Walk the Talk YouTube channel, which is Walk the Talk Speaker Series. And I think their part is the biggest thing I'm seeing is that they want to share their message that they have. You know, like what we were talking about, the girl with the Tourette syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know, she battled this. No one saw this except herself, and she saw this. And so her encouragement is to, you know, be more self-fulfilled, and you know, you can find greatness in your life.
Right.
It's really amazing. So I think that's the biggest reason that people want to speak.
Is some, which is interesting, because in theory, that's storytelling in its purest form, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they
Absolutely.
Want to come. Mm-hmm. I just need to connect with an audience. Takes us back to, you know, the days when. Almost pre-writing.
Yeah,
you've been up
yeah,
in front
right.
of a, you know.
You yeah. know, everybody has a story. I think we all know that. And so what we're now giving opportunity to are people who wouldn't have a chance to share their story in front of a lot of other people. And I think, again, that's one of my favorite things about what Walk the Talk series is really all about. And the stories are powerful. And, you know, and we keep improving along the way.
Yes.
We went true. Beyond just a tech rehearsal to many rehearsals. Those who mm-hmm. want to come, we're developing a top 10 tips on how to public speak and things like that that we mm-hmm. didn't have in the first one or two. So, but also we're trying to inspire them to fly a little higher than maybe what they would have as they get more confidence in their gifts and abilities too.
So you've had, what now, 4 or 5?
This is our fourth one.
Fourth one coming
yeah.
up.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done 3 of them. I'm going to ask each one of you, because it's an individual, which one of, which talk out of, by my count, that would be about 18, right? Speakers?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Somewhere
mm-hmm.
around there?
Mm-hmm.
See, proof journalists actually can do math.
won't go there.
Wait, where's my calculator?
Yeah, yeah. So, 18, which one spoke to you most powerfully? Jennifer, I'm going to start with you.
Wow.
Well, and I know it's going to be a different answer for each one of you, and that's okay because it's
yeah.
the element.
It's tough because every topic is something that I strive to practice, I strive to embody. But I would say the one that I have felt most connected to would be this topic of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that I didn't expect it to be as strong as it was. I don't want to underestimate it, but I was surprised the night of the auditions with how many profound stories we heard and how many strong speakers we had. I would say that this one is probably the strongest one, in my opinion.
Well, and I guess where I was going with that is which speaker, even within that theme. Yeah, yeah, that gets tough. Yeah,
that is harder.
It gets tough.
Wow. That is hard. I'm going to have to say Amanda Bossy. She's going to be in our event tomorrow. And when she came in for the audition, I'm the one who handles the sign-in. Mm-hmm. And she said to me in a very genuine way, "You won't believe my story by just looking at me." Mm-hmm. And I didn't really understand what she meant until she got up on that stage and told her story. Mm-hmm. So I would say those are the types of speakers that really move me.
What was it about it that spoke so powerfully to you? I know you don't want to rob from her.
I don't want to, but it was just her story of overcoming Tourette's, and really just to reiterate again what she said, that by looking at her now, you would have no idea what she's overcome. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the same for a lot of the speakers that we've had. They're so strong to even get up there in front of over 300 people and tell the story. They're so strong.
Right.
But you might not know that just by passing them on the street. And I think kind of what Richard said earlier, too, every single person has that story within them.
Yeah. Steve?
My favorite of the, if you include the six of that's coming up, that's 24. I think at this point, based on what we're trying to do, I would say Kunal is probably the speaker who moved me the most, because he mixed passion and humor and the technology with his slideshow. And it was everything seemed to work together with his. And that was when he spoke at the first one, which was gratitude. At the same time, if anybody's listening that was a speaker at the other events, it's like everybody was so awesome. It's hard for me to say, who was the best. The one thing cool about Kunal, though, is that he has come, he came to the last two rehearsals to help the speakers become better, which, that shows his passion, which is, I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it.
So. Richard.
Yeah, John, I have four children, and you know what? I love them all. I'm going to take this out here because all of these people are like my kids. I'm so proud of them and even seeing them grow beyond. Now, Kunal has spoken twice. He's auditioned twice and spoken twice.
Right, right.
But everyone brings something unique. I think the ones I love the most, though, are Andrea, a few others who've never spoken before at all and got up on that stage and delivered it. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so cool when I see that.
A listener named Sharon, who didn't want to go on the air, asked a question, wants to know what makes Indianapolis a good place to host a kind of goodwill-centric speakers series. And does the current political climate help or hinder your efforts? Steve, I'll throw that one to you first.
Okay. The one thing I've felt about Indianapolis is it's inviting for people to create new and different things. I mean, look at what's happened to Mass Avenue and the rebirth of Fountain Square. I mean, these were all old places that have had a rebirth. And that, and if you think about restaurants and musicals like IRT, it seems like a really great place for people to start something that's very creative and for people to be there with open arms. Mm-hmm. Our first event, we did 300 people, and Richard and I were going, well, if we do 150 the first event, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. And to do 300, it was like, wow. I mean,
but we were aware of the political climate. That's why we chose Compassion in December. Mm-hmm. We knew whoever would win, this would be a divided country. And so, I think that was a wise choice because we had a lot of people show up that night. Mm-hmm. And I think it was healing for a lot of people, too, who came to listen to the six presenters.
I agree.
We are talking about Walk the Talk. It is a new speaker series modeled on the TED Talks. But Walk the Talk focuses on issues of spirituality and well-being. If you would like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can reach out to us by email at nolimitswfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. And that's what a listener named Ignacio has done. And he asks, How can one audition for the Walk the Talk series, and you know, what are some of the future topics? So that presumably you don't encourage people just to come in and talk off the top of their heads.
No,
you want them to have material prepared.
Yeah, we have specific topics every time. If they go to the website, walkthetalkseries.com, there's a list of events coming up, and it has audition dates on there. Also, you can follow us on our Facebook, Walk the Talk Series. That way you can see when we have auditions coming up. Mm-hmm. If you want an audition spot for an event, then you email me, steve@walkthetalkseries.com. The next ones we talked about, we have positive thinking, life's purpose, and then the one in September we're talking about doing is on forgiveness, which that's almost a political subject, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll need a lot of forgiveness, and that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of, if someone, I'm going to follow up on Ignacio's question, if someone wants to do this, what kind of a time commitment is he or she looking at to get ready and to do this effectively? Richard, I'll start with you.
I think the only time commitment beyond that evening and a tech rehearsal is the time it would take to put a talk together. Hopefully it's also a reflection of something that's very personal to them. So it's really hard to say. So it's an hour and a half that night. Tech rehearsal is about an hour and a half. We offer extra rehearsals. You do the math on that. But it's really not that time-consuming. The people who have auditioned, people who didn't get chosen but auditioned, were passionate about wanting to do this. This mm-hmm. was like a calling for many of them, actually. That's mm-hmm. why the hardest part for us, I think, is the ones we decide can't talk.
Yeah.
You know, and then they know that. So, but not much of a time commitment at all.
And how many, I know you said in the, you've got six coming for the one tomorrow night out of mm-hmm. 17 people who mm-hmm. auditioned. How many people typically audition for one of these?
It's been as many as 20. It's usually averages about 15. We had auditions when the Cubs had the playoff game, and there were people that didn't show up. Imagine that. So, but anyway.
We've had that experience here, too. I remember once doing a live broadcast at the start of the NCAA tournament when Butler was the first game out there, and I had to look at the guest and say, pretty much we're going to be talking to ourselves for the,
right,
for the next hour. So.
Well, it was either, I think we scheduled the audition date for the election originally.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, right.
And then we had to move it to a different day.
Yeah, right.
But
the speakers, if they want to audition, and I'm taking this from TED Talks, they recommend that you spend at least 400 hours on learning your speech. Now, those are 18-minute speeches for TED Talk. So, you know, okay, let's say you cut that in half. That's 200 hours. The biggest thing that you have to learn how to do is you have to learn how to know your speech, be passionate about it, share your idea, and mm-hmm. truly own it versus standing there on stage going, okay, let's see, what was my next phrase? Oh, gosh, I forgot that. And that happens during auditions.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We had one woman read her audition from her iPhone, which was like, no. Mm-hmm. God bless her. I mean, you know, but it happens. That's just,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
So the goal is to learn your speech and, you know, truly embody what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm. Do you debrief with them afterwards and all that? Do you get a sense out of what the satisfaction they get out of doing this? Because 400 hours is a major commitment.
Right.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Jennifer, yeah.
I think that what's different about Walk the Talk is that people are sharing personal stories versus TED Talks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the tips we've had to give speakers during rehearsals are don't focus so much on the written part of your story.
Mm-hmm.
This is your story. It's your life.
We are talking about mm-hmm. Walk the Talk. It is a new speaker series modeled on the TED Talk series, but this one is locally based and focuses on spirituality and issues of well-being. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter @wfyi. My guests are Steve Ross, Richard Brendan, and Jennifer Brinduzzi, all organizers. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about Walk the Talk. It is a new speaker series that focuses on issues of spirituality and well-being. The talks are modeled on the TED Talks with a more personal focus. My guests are Steve Ross, Richard Brendan, and Jennifer Brinduzzi, all of whom are organizers of Walk the Talk. So we were talking about what the speakers get out of it. If there are, and you say you're working on a list of 10 suggestions or guide points or mm-hmm. whatever for what makes an effective Walk the Talk talk, what marks the ones that are successful, that connect with an audience and that resonate? Steve, I'll start with you.
For me, and I've said this before, is that the passion that the speaker brings to what they're sharing, to truly, and one of the notes we have on the checklist is, you know, did they have knowledge of the subject and the content, and you know, was their presentation really strong? And even though it could be your story, as we know, storytellers can not tell as well as they could. Mm-hmm. So the passion, how they tell the story, to me, that's really what draws me in. And I even have a little note. Every time I make a note for each speaker, my first question is, did the story draw me in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really important.
Right.
Jennifer.
I think being vulnerable is really important.
That's hard to do on stage, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right. It seems as though those are the speakers that we tend to lean towards, the ones that come up on stage and leave a part of them on the stage. We always try to tell them, share your passions, your dreams, but also fears. So speak about failure as well as success.
Yeah. And John, something I've learned over the years, and it really ties into what Steve and Jennifer just said, and we have this as one of our 10 commandments for Walk the Talk presentations. But it's one of my favorite Maya Angelou quotes when she said, I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the vulnerability, and that's the speaking with passion part that really comes mm-hmm. out.
We are talking about Walk the Talk. It's a new speaker series. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for this show. I have been very much considering writing a story for the Moth Hour, and I wondered if they modeled this after that or if there was some connection between those two. I know I listened to the Moth on NPR, as you're probably well aware mm-hmm. of.
But we like that. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite shows ever, and the couple of things that you guys just mentioned are two of the of my particulars that I speak with, and that is passion. I'm passionate about everything. And the other thing, the only real question I have is, how do I get in contact with y'all? How do I get started?
Okay,
involved? I mean, this is what I literally have been looking for. Hadn't had an opportunity until now.
Thanks very much for the call and the question. We'll see if we can get you an answer. Steve.
Okay.
That's great. I love your passion. I can hear it on the tone of your voice. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, like the radio hour you were talking about. No, we're not really based on that, although I have had people, you know, kind of correlate the two. But anyway, if you want to audition for an event, you just contact me, Steve@walkthetalkseries.com. And if you go to our website, walkthetalkseries.com, you'll see the list of events we have coming up as well as the audition dates. So right now we're taking auditions. Let's see, March 7th is for our positive thinking. Mm-hmm. That's our next one. So we still have 8 spaces available out of the 18 if you're interested.
So if you're looking at this and you're already filling the Vogue, right? 300 people when
right.
they come. Is that
mm-hmm.
is that capacity? I mean, are you turning people away?
We haven't turned people away. The Vogue, you know, we bring in extra seats because it's not like a standing room only concert. We can probably comfortably seat 350 people there.
Okay, so
and
you're not quite at capacity.
No.
300 is a good size crowd.
Oh,
right?
Gosh, yes, yes.
So my question, I guess, would be is there any thought to branching this out and taking it to other venues, growing it in that fashion? Jennifer's the one who's nodding her head, so I'll throw that question to her first.
Yeah, I think that definitely is one of our visions, is to bring this outside of Indiana, all over the world perhaps. But we have had communities reach out to us asking us to bring our show there. I think there was someone who contacted us from Iowa. Is that right, Steve?
I think that was Richard's connection.
That was Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, yeah. Oklahoma.
Louisville.
Close, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tulsa and Louisville? Who,
yeah.
Yes, and I'm assuming that, you know, you've secured the rights to the name and all of that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have Rogue Walk the Talks popping up. Or
right.
We've
looked into Walk the Talk, the national trademark, but there's a company that owns it, and I have no idea what they do with it, but they've had it since 1985, and they don't want to give it up. But anyway, one of the places I look at going next is potentially Bloomington. Mm-hmm. The Buzzkirk Chumley is a beautiful theater, and we've talked with them. It has a capacity of 600 people. The IU students are just, they would be abuzz with this because they already have a TED Talk Bloomington and a TEDx Talks Bloomington.
So is the venue crucial to this? I mean, and what do you need out of that? I know you said the Vogue worked in part because you had a lot of the technological support that's required for this, but there's nothing, say you get a beautiful day, is there a reason that you couldn't do Walk the Talk at an outdoor amphitheater or at Eagle Creek, for example?
You know, that's interesting because we had talked about that, about maybe doing one. So next year, June 28th will be our one-year anniversary, so maybe we'll do, six speakers of the six best from the six talks we did, and maybe do that outside. But to go back to your first question, the venue is important. It has to be a theater. It has to be a place where you can do live music and the balloon drop and confetti and a cool light show. It couldn't be done in a conference room or a big hotel conference room.
You know, that's a great question, John, because now I'm thinking the terrace behind the IMA. That would be perfect.
Oh,
it holds about 400.
Yeah.
Kathy Morris and I did a Sacred Romance concert there.
Oh,
and that
would
be a perfect venue for something like this.
That would be great.
Thank you, John Kroll.
There's a reason you come here, right?
So, you get free tickets for life.
Okay. Well, and I guess the other question is that I have is at some point will you start recycling these themes, or once you've done it, you know, for example, will you say, all right, we talked about compassion. We don't need to talk about that anymore. Will you come back to that?
I don't think we'll ever recycle themes. Jennifer even has a list that Steve put together just on one page. It could easily be 10 pages of topics that people would have an interest in. So doubt if that'll happen anytime soon.
Yeah, Jennifer, read some of the ones that are on the plate.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have happiness, imagination, integrity, law of attraction, that's one that we talked a lot about, divinity, unconditional love, strength, the list goes on.
Okay, and you arrive at those, three of you, or will you take suggestions from folks through the website about, you know, boy, I'd really like to have a night where we talk about this issue.
I think some of those were probably suggestions from people that we added to the list. So absolutely.
Yep, they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the one thing I've learned over the years, you know, I've been in the nightclub business for a long time, and the key that has been successful to us is that you listen to everybody else's ideas and then you put it together to make a really cool event. And so we're always open to that. You know, if somebody comes to the table and says, hey, I want to do this. Okay. Like yesterday, what was the girl and the guy who came in with the kombucha and they wanted to sample some stuff at the, and we go, you know, they're making it where, like out of their house or something like that. And we said, bring it in and sample it. You know, why not?
Yeah. And then we invited them to actually be part of the event. They simply came in to buy tickets, and then we ended up getting into a conversation with them and then invited them to be part of the event tomorrow.
So where do you want this to go? I mean, say we've moved. you're coming up on your 1 year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, on my birthday. That's why the date sticks in my head. Mm-hmm. But you're coming up on that. Say 5 years from now,
mm-hmm.
where do you want Walk the Talk to be? And I'd like to hear everybody's thoughts, because
sure.
I can tell you're all involved in this for slightly different reasons. Steve.
Okay, and going back to my Vision Quest book, the second thing I wrote that is, if I had the money, I would make Walk the Talk as big as I could. Mm-hmm. And that includes going to other markets and maybe international. I mean, there's so many, as we said, there's so many people, common man and woman, that have a great message to share. And it resonates with all of us. Mm-hmm. And so that's unlimited market.
Jennifer.
I would really like to see it turned into a podcast or something. I think it would be cool to have some of the speakers be able to elaborate on the topic for more than mm-hmm. just 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Richard.
Yeah, and we've been talking about that, by the way, worldwide, because I think I would love to see this in various cultures, bringing people together, because this is also, I would call it peacemaking in a sense, but the topics that we have, when you see how the audience is coming together, and by the way, I do want to share, Steve and I were noticing after the first event, people kept using the term tribe. They'd look around at each other and say, wow, this is our tribe. So getting back to something you said earlier, it really is kind of like this funky, cool church at the Vogue, where our religion is love. I think we said that the first night. So, yeah.
So, and this is the flip side of that question, because when things grow, often they can take off in directions that mm-hmm. weren't anticipated
mm-hmm.
And, frankly, often aren't desired. What do you not want to see Walk the Talk become? Everybody's avoiding eye contact with me right now. It's like being in the classroom when I've just asked a question that, you know, suddenly students get really interested in their shoes.
But, I think for myself, I would look at it that it's not a commercial venture, that it's truly to help people grow. And that's, if it varies from that, then that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So I would look that, as this grows, that I'm going to have my hand in the choice of every topic we do and whatever market or venue we go to. So you know, that it stays true to its form.
And piggybacking on what Steve said, what I'm passionate about is we've had a couple of people who, let's say they're professional speakers, was interested, and then they found out they had to audition. Oh, audition.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I hope it's open to the people who have a heart to want to do this. I mm-hmm. would call them just regular common folk, like so mm-hmm. many others, that they have the opportunity to share their voice.
So you want it to stay egalitarian?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't ask, because by my math, if you've got 300 people coming through with a $15 cover charge, there is a fair amount of money coming. Does that basically just cover the cost of doing it each show, or is that?
At this point, we're still not for profit.
Okay.
So
we're actually in four loss stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, part of that is creating, you know, marketing and, mm-hmm. you know, that type of stuff.
Right.
Equipment.
Right.
And Jennifer, I'm not forgetting you. I do. What do you not want to see it become?
I mean, I completely agree with Richard and Steve. I would just like it to stay authentic and genuine. Some of the problems we've run into are people attempting to sell from the stage or things along those lines. So we just want to keep it mm-hmm. real.
Which mm-hmm. of the, you know, when you talked about the topics that you're looking at, which are the ones that you're most excited about, Jennifer, talking to, the ones that are coming up?
I would say life purpose. I know, mm-hmm. when we mm-hmm. had our last meeting and threw that one around, I very much related to that. I said that I think that my generation, we go to college and then we get out of college and then we still don't know what to do with ourselves.
Right.
I know that's something that I struggled with, and I know a lot of people that struggle with that as well. So I think life purpose mm-hmm. is extremely relevant for my generation.
And I'm asking this question at the worst possible time, because we're getting close to the end of the show and don't have a whole lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, it sounds like, you know, not to oversimplify things, but a lot of the topics, the issues that these nights are built around are crisis of meaning, kind of meaning in life kinds of questions that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that resonating so powerfully at this moment, either in this community's history or this state's or this country's? Steve?
I feel that everybody is looking for a way to grow and be better in the world that they're living. And, you know, you asked the topic. For me, the one I'm looking forward to is forgiveness. Because I know within my life, forgiveness has been such a huge, such a huge part of me becoming who I am. And so I think I just look at it that I lost my train of thought, but yeah. Sorry.
Richard.
Well, I think people are vulnerable right now. I think people are fearful right now. I know a lot of my gay friends are fearful right now. Some of my friends who come from other countries are fearful for their family members. So I think the topics will really be a healing balm, I'd like to think, for the people who arrive, because they have these takeaways. Jennifer alluded to the one from gratitude, that they can talk together one another. And as this is continually developed, such as podcasting and such, hopefully it'll get people to talk and to try to listen to one another as well.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, you alluded to the fact that, you know, people in your generation feel that kind of disconnect or need. Why do you think that is? I might add, you're a little younger than I am. So. or frankly, any of us are. Yeah.
You know, I'm not really sure. I think the world is a very different place than it was back then. Mm-hmm. At least that's what my father always says to me. And I think that the topics that we're discussing are just extremely relevant.
So, once again, if people want to attend, can they just walk up to the door that night, put their $15 down, and
yes.
walk in?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to reserve seats? Can you go to the website and do that, Steve?
You can't reserve seats. You can buy tickets online through thevogue.com. You can buy tickets at the Vogue office, noon to 5:30. It's $15. Or they can pay them at the door. We haven't sold out at this point, although we have 120 presale for going in for tomorrow night's, which is really big.
Mm-hmm. And tomorrow night's topic, again,
is miracles.
Is miracles. So you got 120 people coming, which means you got about another 230 seats if you've got 350 capacity.
Yes,
right?
Yes. There's plenty of room. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think that probably will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank all three of you for what's been an intriguing conversation. I'd like to thank my guests, Steve Ross, Richard Brendan, and Jennifer Brinduzzi, all of whom are organizers of Walk the Talk. It's a new speakers series. It's modeled on the TED Talks, but focuses exclusively on issues of spirituality and well-being. It's been a provocative talk. I'd also like to thank our listeners for their contributions to the discussion, and invite everyone to come back on Thursday when we're going to be talking about Right Fit, which is a new collaboration with the Indianapolis Indians, law enforcement, other community partners to help young people with issues of nutrition, exercise, and all of that. I am John Krall. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Cherzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.